Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Five star. It's
the
John.
Aww. The Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. Crab Feast for that ass. Oh, that felt good. Took a little while to get up to the high register to touch your pitch, man. Felt good to touch your pitch, Jay Larson Comedy. Even with these cracked up chapped lips from the East Coast over here. I'm split and ripped over here, man.
Split and ripped, huh?
Look at that.
What can you do about it? Sickle cell. Good to be here, everybody. Jay Larson here, jlarsoncomedy.com. Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. As you know, I've been talking about it. I'm recording next week, 1 week from today, my hour special at the El Rey Theater. That's November 29th, two recordings, 7:30 and 9:30. If you live in the town, or you live close to town, or you have relatives in town,
or
hit them
up.
You're going to be in town, whatever. Just please come out and support.
Yeah.
We got a lot of tickets have gone so far, but we still got some room, so I'd love for you all to come out at jlarsoncomedy.com. I have a post on my Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. All those links are in my bios. Please come on out, reserve some tickets, and have a blast. It's free, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really proud of it, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. So, November 29th at the El Rey Theater. I'd love to see you there. And I just want to say, because in 2 days is Thanksgiving, very thankful for you, my friend, Mr. Sickle Cell.
That's very nice,
my partner in crime, for which if we weren't doing this together, I mean, it'd be a big, I'd have a lot more time. You know what I mean? But what would I be doing with that time? Probably something not as fun as having the guests on we get to have.
Probably starting something else and not finishing.
Either way, it's I'm just trying to be positive. Rice trying to take it down a notch. And I'm thankful for all you feasters out there because, you know, one thing we saw going on the road and getting out there was how great it was to see all you guys. And the fact that if you weren't listening, you know, who would we be doing this for? So we're very appreciative of all you guys and how great of fans you are and how respectful you are and how much you care about us and the podcast. It means a lot. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, Ryan Sickler Official on Facebook, RyanSickler.com. I'd like to throw a special thank you out to Denver. What another great show. And as Jay said, and I am also very thankful for you and your family, Jay Larson. You know, you guys, we're going to talk a little bit more about it later because I really want to talk about hitting these cities and stuff. And we're got some business to take care of here. But I can't thank all of you enough for coming out and how great you guys are. You know, not one, as people have been saying, the end of the world, and no matter who you voted for, what, not one interruption about the government, not one, even on election night, not one thing, man. You guys really came out to unplug from whatever it is in your lives, and you were fantastic.
On election night, no one even was pulling out their phones and being oh my God! Everyone just like, yeah, we all agreed, hey, let's just chill out till, you know, it's all over, and that was great.
Yeah, we appreciate the love and respect, and thanks for coming out and escaping for a little bit with us. Crabfeast.com for all your Crab Feast related info. Make sure you hit up the merch. It makes great holiday gifts. I'm telling you right now, we've got a brand new shirt coming. It'll be all JUCO. All JUCO t-shirts are about to drop for you just in time for Christmas.
And let your family know. If they didn't know that you were all JUCO, let them know now. Play it.
Let the world know. Play it. And if you haven't already started your holiday shopping on Amazon, you better get on it, man. We are less than a month away here. Oh, we're a little over a month away. But please use our link. And thanks to those of you who already do. Amazon is a huge, huge help to the podcast, as are all the premium episodes, including Bridgetown and the new LA Podfest. They're available now for iTunes and non-iTunes users. Just click on that premium apps on the website. They're all there. Facebook fan page, follow up to keep with any info for the Crab Feast. You'll find Jay's info for his show there. Anything Crab Feast related, of course. And as always, thank you for the iTunes page, 5-star reviews, man. They continue to make us laugh out loud. If you haven't thrown one up there yet, go do that too. It's fun.
And, you know, the holiday season is upon us. We're having Thanksgiving, and everyone's going to go nuts at Black Friday. You can start going nuts at Black Friday now because we have so many great deals. One especially coming from this week's sponsor, Movement Watches. That's MVMT Watches, pronounced Movement. We've talked about these guys before. They founded this company, two kids up in Santa Barbara who just wanted to wear a nice watch but couldn't afford one. You know what I mean? And now they've sold over 500,000 watches in 160-plus countries. Sickle Cell has his on now.
Got it on right now.
Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest growing watch company. And the great thing for these guys is you can just go online right now and buy Christmas gifts before anyone. You don't have to go out. We're going to get you the same Black Friday savings. Here's the deal. Holiday shopping can be tough, but thanks to Movement Watches, all that giving, Thanksgiving gift giving anxiety can disappear with the press of a button. These watches make the perfect purchase for just about anyone in your life, guy or girl. And remember, they start at only $95. $95. That's ridiculous for a nice watch. Most are like $400 or $500. And then some, those are just like, you know, like a sheep and wolf's clothing. You've heard of us talk about Movement Watches before, and I'm sure you go get one yourself. Now let's finish your holiday shopping and get a Movement Watch for someone on your list. Movement Watches start at $95. Department stores, you're paying $400 to $500. Classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Here's our deal. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. That's a great deal. By going to MVMTWatches.com/crab, C-R-A-B. That's MVMTWatches.com/crab. These watches have a really clean design, and they'll be getting compliments. I know you've said people have mentioned it to you. I have that gold one that people, they think I'm balling in. Now is the time to step up your watch game and step up your watch game for a friend. MVMTWatches.com/crab. Join the movement today.
We have another great sponsor, and I love all our sponsors, but this one, especially if you have kids or kids in your life, and you love reading to them, man, this is such a great gift here. I always look forward to when I get to talk to Stella at night. We do story time every night, and I love to read her stories. You know, she points at the pictures. She laughs at the funny voices I use, always begging for just one more story. I can't get her to bed. Now, imagine how excited the kids would be if the book you were reading from was all about them. With books from LostMy.name, you get exactly that and more. All right, so I had this book created for her. And you sit down, and it's Lost My Name. So a little girl wakes up, and her name's gone. And you go through this whole story, and it's tailored to her. So each, you can pick the creatures she comes into contact with. They each give her a letter. And by the end of the book, she's found her name, and it's her specific name. It's the perfect go-to gift for any child in your life, from newborn to 8 years old. Every story is unique to the letters in their name, and you can get one for every kid in the home. Lost My Name is the perfect Christmas gift for any child, boy or girl. Each child's adventure is based on the letters of their name, making every story unique to the child. Hand-drawn illustrations on every page bring their personalized book to life. It's made by you for your child. The book literally doesn't exist until you press the button. It's not just a substitute name here. This is tailored to your child. Each child can follow the letters of their name through the book to discover the story is all about them. It's more magical than a typical personalized book that simply inserts a child's name throughout a generic story. A great personalized gift for baby showers, birthdays, or like we've been saying, Christmas. Go to www.lostmy.name and enter your little one's name for a free preview of their story.
That's important. Lostmy.name.
That's correct. Enter code CRABFEAST to get 10% off your order. Shipping also free worldwide. Order now in time for Christmas. Visit lostmy.name today.
I'll tell you whose name we won't lose is this week's guest. Excited to have him on, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode just because of talks we've had with him before the recording. So please welcome for the first time, Jumpin' Joe Prano.
Welcome to the Crab Feast! To the Crab Feast!
Thanks for having me, guys.
You look like a young, vibrant Freddie Mercury. Anybody ever tell you
that? Oh,
I get Freddie Mercury every once in a while.
You could definitely be Freddie Mercury.
I get Freddie Mercury. I get Borat.
I could see it. Now you say it,
yeah.
I can see it.
You get when I have the Flavor Saver, I'll get a Zappa.
Yeah.
Frank Zappa. Everybody on Venice Beach is like, Zappa! Like, yeah. I think they think they're seeing
Baltimore
Zappa.
Guy. I'm partial to Zappa, yeah. Man. You do look like you could be a Zappa, though.
Yeah, I'll take
like
it.
Like a nephew or something. Man, well, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming on today. And before we get into all your stories, why don't you feel free to plug your social media, your podcast, anything you want.
Sure. At Fix Your Life on Twitter. You can follow me there.
Are you still doing family therapy or is that done?
Yeah, still doing family therapy. Yeah. Only via Twitter.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you send me 140 characters, I'll fix your whole life.
Saving yeah, families out
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Great.
I got two podcasts, The Dirty Sports, which I do with Andy Ruther, and Kooks of Comedy with Lachlan Patterson. So follow those. And then shout out my
little... Wait.
Oh, okay.
You have a special.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what we're here for. Yeah. I got a comedy special. It's out. It's out right now. It's That's on Vimeo right. on Demand. You can go to joeprano.com or Vimeo on Demand and search for it. It's called Joe Prano Takes the Stand. It was shot at The Stand in New York City.
Great club.
And it's available for buy or rent right now.
And it's got a great intro. We were talking about before where you reenact that great courtroom scene from A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men, yeah.
Which, when it started, I'm like, oh, Prano, man, they're taking a big... I mean, but it worked. And I was just like, shit, he's pulling this off. It's really, really good.
Yeah, man. You know, it was funny. Like, I had that idea. I had a couple different ideas because I figured Joe Prano Takes a Stand. Easy, we could do a courtroom thing.
Such a great way to incorporate where you're at and stuff.
Yeah, right? And then so I was like, oh, I'll rewrite that whole... Like, I'll rewrite the scene and then just get to the, you know, you can't handle the jokes instead of the truth or whatever. But it was really hard. And then I was just like, the last minute, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm doing a cut and paste of the whole script. Yeah. And I'm just going to replace, you know, military shit with comedy shit. And the idea I had was like, I'm on trial for like ripping a blogger who was at the show.
Yeah.
And it came out great. I'm like super happy.
It's cool.
With how really with how cool. that came out. It's better than the stand up that you watch after it. But.
Well, no, I did. Yeah. I saw some of it and it was unbearable. Yeah, but that opening was great.
Yeah.
And your last name spelled Praino.
That's right.
For them out there.
Yeah.
All right. And how about a shout out to anybody that follows out there on Twitter?
Yeah. I want to shout out my brother, Mikey. He's the
What's up, Mike? Mikey Prano
At the Prano Mantis on Twitter.
Oh, that's tight, actually. Yeah,
he's got
a lot of letters.
He's got a lot. Mikey's got a lot to say. He's a wild card. I'm sure he's going to come up in this episode, but he doesn't get on the Twitter enough. So I'd love people to reach out to him and be like, "Tweet more, you fat fuck."
The Prano Mantis.
Yeah, all Mikey right. Prano.
There you go, Feast.
And is he still back east?
He's still back east. Gotcha. Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Two brothers, one sister.
So it's four of you.
Yeah.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up just north of New York City in Westchester County, Katona, New York.
And what was your family like growing up?
My family was literally insane. Like, my dad is an Italian immigrant, came over when he was 13.
Got to keep them out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I know.
Italian immigrants.
Lived in the
That's
Bronx.
My whole family.
And then my mom is like New York Irish. You know, from Queens, her family's all fucking Westies, like real degenerate New York family. And then they got together and just had four lunatic children.
How far apart are all of you?
We're all basically about 3 years apart.
So they waited 3 years. Like, yeah, let's do it again. Yeah. Are you the baby?
I'm not. I'm second oldest.
Second oldest.
I have a brother, John, who's before me, then Mikey, then a baby sister.
And what was it like with three boys in the house? Because that was my upbringing, was two brothers, so yeah. Three boys in the house.
I'll put it this way. Being, you know, I'm the stand-up comic of the three of us. I'm by far the most sane.
Are you the funniest?
Not even close.
Exactly.
Not even a little bit. Mikey is easily the funniest. And he's like Frank the Tank from, you know, old school. And then my brother John is funny in just like how degenerate his behavior is. Like, he's always up to absolutely no good. And as children, it was like lighting shit on fire, just like going to car, like highway overpasses, and, you know, shooting potato cannons at oncoming cars. And I'm like, looking back, like, we could have killed somebody.
Yeah, right?
You know, like straight up killed people.
What about when your sister would go on dates? Did you guys all like, did you ever like take that, role?
I mean, but you know, she's 6 years younger than me. So, you know, by the time she was dating, really 16, 17, 18, stuff like that, like I was kind of out of it. I was out, you know, in the world. But my little brother, I was told that the first time I wasn't there to witness it, but first time a kid came to like pick her up for a dance, he just like opened the door and he was like, Okay. And just like full on punch him in the stomach and like drop.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just like drop the kid. And he was like, he's like, okay, you think that's bad? Fuck with my sister.
Tell him the man to say.
Yeah. But he was a senior in high school when my sister was a freshman. So he was like a football player. Everybody knew him. Like somebody showing up to the house to take punch my sister out. Is like, they're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to see Mikey when I get there.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? So he almost had like a reputation to live up to. If he hadn't punched him, people would have been like, what? Like,
well, I mean,
what are you doing?
I wonder if like after that, your brother Mikey was like, you know what? This kid's all right. You know
yeah.
I mean? He
yeah.
took that punch. He did all right. I mean, he threw up. He threw up on the front yeah. step.
He's not crying, yeah. though.
I remember my sister's like first boyfriend was like one of those hippie, like follows fish around the country,
oh
like
my God.
You know, white kid with like dreadlocks, and my brother just like could not handle it. And one time we had like a house party, you know, pool out by the pool, everybody's playing beer pong shit. He just tackled the kid, dragged him into the garage, and him and his buddies just shaved his head. Just shaved his
what?
Just sort of like
shaved his
like,
dreads?
Yeah, they're like, fuck your dreads, you stupid little hippie. Like we're taking Jesus. Your hair off. Yeah.
Wow. And it was your dad like, oh, Michael, it's over there. Yeah.
He's throwing dough in the air. And shit.
Yeah.
Does he have that crazy accent?
No.
He doesn't sound like Mario.
No accent. But what was funny about my dad is when he would start yelling at you, like he processes everything in Italian first and then thinks about English. So when we would really piss him off, he'd start speaking in like broken English, Italian, or he wouldn't be able to put together the words. I remember one time. We were just like up late at night, like playing video games and causing a ruckus. And my friend was sleeping over. So we dragged a mattress into our room. So there's another mattress and it's like blocking the door. So the door could only open like 6 inches. And my dad comes in. He's like, I told you to shut the fuck up. What the fuck are you doing? And my Mikey just looks at him and lets out the biggest, loudest fart ever. And my dad loses it, but can't get through the door because it'll only open 6 inches because the mattress in the way. And he's like doing like Jack Nicholson from The Shining. And he starts going,
you got an axe through the door.
For once, be a fucking stop it. And we're like, what? What does that mean? And then we're ripping on him. And that. And he literally tried to push his way through the fucking door so he could kill my brother. And my brother's just laughing that he can't get in. And my dad's also like 5'6". He looks like Danny DeVito.
Well, there's like that crazy relationship between like people who come here from another country and then their children speak perfect English.
Yeah.
And the parents are always at a disadvantage because they don't speak perfect English.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And they're like, this little fucking shit, like, hey, what does this say again?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, we would make fun of my dad constantly for shit. Like, just the little pronunciations. Like, he would say Broadway instead of Broadway in New York. We're like, what the why do you, like, you wouldn't even say that in Italian. Like, what the fuck are you right, talking yeah. about?
He's like, I like soup.
Yeah, it's like, oh, go down. We got to go to Broadway. We're like, okay, whatever, Dad.
What's this Kool-Aid story that you
this is like honestly my favorite thing that ever happened to
is
us
this Mikey?
Growing up. This is my brother John. This was actually like we did a lot of three-person like plots and planning. We'd fuck with people. But we had so only Mikey he's the only one of us that wasn't born like within a 2-week period in the middle of the summer. So my family used to just throw us like one big birthday party for the three of us, invite over everybody.
Oh, you guys are all like within 2 weeks in July. Like,
it's July, like end of June, early July. So
anyone on the 4th?
I'm on the 5th.
Yeah, well, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
He's on the 4th.
No.
I wanted my one son on the 4th.
I feel like that's what my dad was going for. You know, he's like, we're just going to shoot for the 4th every year and then we'll be real Americans. But we would have a big party. My parents invite all their friends and all their kids. We would have, you know, 100 people out on the screened in porch on the patio, and we had a pool out back. And there's kids in the pool and floaties, you know, there's 20 people in. So my mom's saying, she used to let us do literally whatever we wanted. Like, I mean, we were lighting shit on fire, blowing stuff up all day. She doesn't, it's like whatever. But when people are here, like, be responsible. Don't do your shit, because then 60 kids are going to want to do what you guys are doing. So no running by the fucking pool, you know, no lighting
That's
shit on fire
talks?
Today. Yeah. Oh, my mom would be like, yeah, no fucking running by the pool. I'll beat the shit out of you.
Listen, tomorrow, beat the shit out of your sister. Yeah, that's fine. Today, blast it up.
Yeah, act fucking responsibly. So my brother's like, okay, we're going to do this. John goes, just chase me toward the pool like I'm doing something real bad. So
how old are you at this point?
I'm probably like 12.
Okay.
So John's 15, Mikey's like 9. And he's just like, we're going to come from around the side of the house, and he's like, just chase me like I just did something horrible to you and you guys are after me. So we're like, all right, what the fuck is going on? So we come, there's literally 100 people hanging around the pool. People are barbecuing, you know, people are drinking wine.
This is
like a whole, you know, 3-person birthday party. Everybody, it's a pool party. So we're chasing him. We're like, get back here. And he's sprinting toward the pool. My mom sees it coming, like around the yard, and she starts screaming. She's like, no running by the pool. He gets right by the pool and he dives into the shallow end. And when he goes in, just red everywhere, and he just starts fucking dead man floating, and everybody thinks that he's just like cracked his head on the bottom of the pool.
Oh my god.
Fuck up. My dad drops like a fucking thing of burgers and starts like going down the stairs.
Right, sir!
Yeah. This one of his friends, Mr. Miller, dives in the pool fully clothed to like drag him out.
Women
are crying. They think he's like busted his nose.
First hour of the party.
Kids in the pool are like holding their face. Like the whole party dead stop. 100 people like, call 911. He's had 2 fistful of Kool-Aid.
Cherry Kool-Aid?
Yeah, 2 fistful of cherry Kool-Aid. And when he went in the pool and he hit the bottom with his hands, he just let it all go and a big cloud of red.
Oh, shit. How did he know that would look right, though?
What was so great is my fucking dad, when he figured out what it was, he like literally took him upstairs and we could hear him like beating him. Like the whole, like 60 people are like, cool, John's just getting his ass beat. Like, yeah, it was so fucking funny. But I've never seen like a whole... Like, you see in the movie, like, the record scratch moment.
Yeah.
Like, this is 60 people, like, dropping their wine glasses and shit and being like, oh, some kid is dead
just
in the pool.
Watch the child die in front of us.
And like,
can we talk about how dark his sense of humor was that he thought this was going to crush? And did he think he was the fucking shit for
He still thinks it's the best thing ever.
Like, that was worth the beating.
Yeah. He's the one that, you know, he's always done, like, horrible shit like that. Like, the stuff that he would come up with was so bad. He's like a con man. He was a con man as a kid. He was like.
What hustle baseball cards from you or what? What was, like, as a kid? What
like,
was he doing?
So one of my favorite ones as a kid is he like literally was running a fight club in the locker room during our swim
before
team.
Before the fucking movie? Yeah. Swim team.
Yeah, swim team. Bunch of kids in fucking Speedos. He's got Mikey. He's like, Mikey, I'll give you. He's like, we're going to take bets if you can beat up one of the kids from the other team. You guys are gonna fight in the locker room. You win. I'm gonna take bets on candy. You get half the candy. And he would literally like take like kids would go to the snack bar and he's like, you gotta bet.
Beat the shit out of Julie's boyfriend. I can take this kid.
Yeah. And Mikey's like a 10-year-old in a fucking Speedo, just like 30 style boxing some other 10-year-old.
A guy from the other team.
It was like cockfighting.
Who had to agree with.
Yeah, it was like cockfighting. But it was great because.
Careful now. He's a backstroke guy.
Yeah, yeah. It was great because John would set it up early. John would set it up early. He'd just go walking around and be like, that kid called you a faggot. Like, he'd just be like, what? And he's like, yeah, that kid over there, I don't know what his problem is, but he said you're a faggot. He said he's going to kick your ass. And it was just, my brother would just be, Mikey would just be sitting there, like, not knowing what's going on, like, watching the swim race. Like, yeah, that kid over there. Said kid Mikey? I don't know. Hates you. Said he fucked your mom, called you a faggot. And it would rage these kids up. And he's like, you want to fight him? We can fight him. You want to fight him in the locker room? And then it would literally be like,
but how would he coerce the guys from the other team to fight?
He would just go. That was him. Yeah.
Got it,
and Mikey was just doing it for candy. Mikey's just like, I'll fight people for fucking
so
fun.
So Mikey doesn't even know that he went over there and said that.
No.
He just thinks this guy's going to come and fight for candy.
He goes, if you beat this kid up, you get half
this
the
candy.
This is all John.
Let me tell you something. I'd be impressed with John if he pulled that pool ass stunt during a swim meet.
Yeah.
That would have been.
Your dad be like, not again.
They might not have gone in after him. He'd be really dying down there.
One time at swim team, we had an invitational where you invite all
the things. So this wasn't high school team. This
is like grown up, like town pool swim team.
Yeah.
And we used to do an invitational. And when you would do the invitational, when you would get invited to another pool, you'd go over and fuck with their shit. Before, you know, you sneak in the night before, throw their lane lines in the pool, throw their flags in, dump the lifeguard chairs in, throw a bunch of shit.
What are you living in?
Yeah.
You're living like a National Lampoon.
Yeah, no shit.
Just because, like, you get up in
your
the morning.
Guys are in
before,
middle school.
Yeah, yeah. Before you get up in the morning, you had to go and you had to, oh, fuck, we got to take all our shit out of the pool. So one of the teams had an invitation. We did that to them. And then we knew they were going to get us back. We get there in the morning and the pool's like, fine. We got there early to clean up and we're like, what? Like
these, you would go early.
And
to
we would
up.
Go. Yeah, we would go. Now, after we did it to them, right? We knew they were going to do it to us. So we show up at our pool for our invitational. And we're like, oh man, Bedford Hills is probably going to come over and dump our shit in the pool. We got to get there early. And we get there, nothing. And we're like, man, Bedford Hills, a bunch of pussies. They didn't even fucking come back at us. And John is just laughing. And we're like, what's going on? And when they finally arrive, some kid's got like a fucking eye patch on. John and Rob Shuey were on the pool roof. The roof of like
wait,
the area.
Wait, Rob Shuey from the swim team?
Yeah, Rob Shuey from the swim team.
I got fucking surprised that up. Yeah. Right now. Rob Shuey! Get in! Swim your ass in here, Rob!
Come on, man. Let me see that freestyle. Today,
so wait.
So they were up on the pool, and when kids showed up, they were firing pellet guns at them.
Hit one in the eye?
Yeah, hit one in the eye. But they were literally like guarding the pool. And
what time did they get there?
They must have got there at like fucking midnight and slept on the roof of the – like they were literally on patrol.
They're up there waiting because they know they're coming, and they did.
And they're sniper rifling kids as they approach like the
and
pool
got one
deck.
With a patch.
Yeah, one with a fucking eye.
That's
going to
slow
the
them
eye.
Down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's going to slow them down a little bit.
No, them goggles on. Yeah.
He might drift into another lane.
I'm drifting into holy shit, how are they not getting like going to jail?
I'm telling you, I mean, John ended up, you know, eventually comes up with you, you know, he did 50 days on Rikers, so, you know, as kids.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a hell of a jump.
Yeah, but not for shooting kids in the eye with a fucking pellet gun.
So he was always a little bit on the trouble
sociopath
side.
Like
yeah,
fucking with
clearly.
People
yeah. Sociopath. God damn!
Fucking with he was also a computer whiz. He was doing. He was always
he was
like
one of those
breaking
guys.
In. Yeah, he's too smart for his own good.
Yeah,
you know
he was bored by life. He needed something. Yeah.
When I watched The Dark Knight when it came out a few years ago, and they were like when they described the Joker as just wanting to watch it all burn, I was like, yes, my brother. Like he doesn't have. He's not in it for money. He's not in it for fun. He just wants chaos. He just wants absolute chaos.
You said he would fuck with teachers?
Yeah, he'd fuck with teachers. He'd like sneak into school and change his grades like through the computer system.
What?
Like he would do all
Can
kinds
I,
of shit.
I just can't get this out of my head. The genius of him saying he had to set up the bit with you're chasing him. So like it's already putting people in this frantic state and calling attention.
Yeah.
And then he's diving to get away from you so you feel sympathy. And
he's probably got a big ass smile on his face underwater.
Oh,
he's laying there floating like he's dead.
He probably didn't sleep the night before.
Yeah,
Kool-Aid coming out of
the whole
there.
Thing.
Sorry to go back, but yeah.
God damn.
This kid's crazy.
No, sick.
Like, so he would break into school and change his grades on the computer?
He would like, he knew how to like get into the, he was doing networking shit and like internet shit. He was like conning people on the internet when Prodigy was the thing. Like before AOL, he was like breaking into shit via networks. But I remember one time he had a thing with a teacher that like the guy just hated him and you know and he wasn't a good student because he didn't give a fuck and the guy wouldn't and he changed his grade in the computer and the guy found out and the guy came after him.
That's
and,
what I was going to ask. Did he ever get caught?
And he knew that the guy had like just broken up with his wife, that he was getting divorced and he like
oh my
he was God. He was like pushing the guy's buttons and the guy ends up like literally choke slamming him against a locker and he just like it was the whole point of the whole thing was to like set the guy off. He like went to the dean's office. He's like, "Yo, Mr. Mitchell choked me," and like literally for the rest of the year, like he just got like a B in that class and like didn't have to go. And they were like,
"I'm not giving you an A."
Yeah, don't press charges against Mr. Mitchell and don't fucking go back to his class ever again. He's like, "Perfect. This is what I wanted the whole time."
He just got to miss the class and get a B.
Yeah.
No shit, man. So,
is he giving your parents like full blown heart attack?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, they must have aged an extra 15 years.
My
them.
Dad, like, would just lose it. That's when my dad would, like, go in a broken Italian because he just, like, couldn't handle. He's like, why do you have to do this to me? Like, it was just like, what did, why we tried to raise you, like, as a good kid and all you want to do is cause trouble. And he's just like, I don't know.
That's What's
just,
he do now?
That's really that thing. He actually just moved out here. He works for, like, he works for some big healthcare company. He does facilities. So he like makes sure.
I thought that was something you say you work for Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a fucking distributor. What about, was this him, this stuff here? Is that him also? Is it John?
No, those are both Mikey.
All right. So let's stay on John for a second.
Yeah.
You took quite a jump there and said he ended up going to Rikers. So all of this obviously we're hearing. And then how did it progress? What was he doing once he got into college and stuff?
So he went to community college and he was like doing computer shit. And when he was in community college, he actually got hired by a friend of my mom's ticket brokering company. This is like before StubHub and all that shit. And you could, you could sell tickets to events for hire or whatever.
That's why we know you have sweet parents because they're extending their friends to get this kid a job.
Yeah.
Listen, just take him. Give him something.
Listen,
well, he was
a job.
He was always
remember the one that killed himself in the
during the birthday.
gets it. It's him.
Remember when my husband beat the shit out of him upstairs? Remember that? Yeah, when the Buffalo Mozzarella was going around? Yeah, yeah. That's
right. He was always a computer whiz, so they needed a website for their company. Mm-hmm. And he showed up, and he was like, okay, I'll do web design for you. And he was there like, this is how he works. Like, he was there like 2 days, and he's just kind of like, okay, yeah, you want to sell tickets online? Okay, I get it. And he comes back in, and he goes, hey, you buy a lot of your tickets like online. Like, you know, it's a sale for Bruce Springsteen's at 10 a.m. You all get on computers, and you try to get tickets, and then you sell them. He's like, I hacked the Ticketmaster website.
He did?
Yeah.
Ticketmaster?
Yeah.
At how old? Probably 19?
He was like, yeah, 19, 20. Maybe might have been 21, like young 20s. He goes, I hacked the Ticketmaster website. So now when our computers connect to Ticketmaster, we're 5 minutes ahead. So instead of logging in at 10 a.m., log in at 9:55. They're going to think it's 10 a.m. when only RIPs hit it.
Ah.
So we'll get all the best tickets. And then at 10, we're fucking done. We let all the plebes get all the regular shit. And they were literally like, you're never, don't worry about the website ever again. This is your job. This is all you are responsible
for.
Yeah. And for a couple of years, he was
hacking
sites. Ticketmaster. And he would go to...
just resetting their clock.
Yeah, resetting their clock. And they would get literally the front row.
Knowing this guy, he probably did some other shit joy. Changed it to like Bruce Springsteen to like Billy Springsteen on tickets and shit.
Then he would get like, I remember we went to a Soundgarden show in New York City, and it didn't sell great. And he had the whole front row, and he went to the security guy and gave him $20. He's like, no one, I have all of these tickets and no one is to sit here. And he put up a banner, and it was like, want to sit here? Call us 1-800-ALL-SHOWS. And people were like, oh, can we move up? He's like, fuck you. Buy the tickets next time. But he would get every ticket.
God.
Yeah. Ticketmaster. This is how I know he's like the Joker. Like Ticketmaster reached out to him and were like, they flew him out here.
They figured out it was him?
They knew he was doing it, but they didn't know how. And they flew him out here.
That's what I was going to say. That's the guy you hire.
Yeah, and they tried to. They gave him a suitcase full of money, and they were like, this is the down payment. Come work for us. Stop people from doing what you're doing. He's like, fuck you.
Go to Rikers, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually Ticketmaster catches on. They figure out how he's doing it. And now he becomes useless to his company because he's just a degenerate dickhead. And they're like, okay, well. And they gave him a crazy salary. He would just show up twice a week for sales. And he was just like bawling. And he was going to concerts and, you know.
I got you those Whitney Houston tickets.
Yeah,
I'm going
Whitney Houston. Yeah. And we would go, we went and saw national championship football games. Like he would get the best tickets. We saw U2 in Ireland, like at a castle. Yeah. It was like fucking nuts. And he was just bawling for a couple years. But then they figured it out and they were like, you're useless. I was like, please tell me you saved some money. He's like, no, I'm like $20,000 in debt. I'm like, fuck, of course you are. So he started doing it on his own where he was buying tickets and then selling them himself for a raised price. But he got caught like middling. Like he sold somebody Steelers tickets that he didn't have yet. And then the guy fell through and then he had spent all the money. And somebody was like,
oh, shit.
Bro, you owe me either fucking season tickets to the Steelers or like 15 grand.
Right.
And he just like ghosted. And, you know, that he did that to a couple people and the police caught up on him and boom. 50
so how did it go
Rikers.
Down? They just show up, knock at the door one day?
It started with like, you know, the like local news, like shame on you. Like some like fucking.
Oh, like the guy that goes out and does the like bust the mechanics that aren't really changing.
Like somebody showed up at his apartment and was like.
You here for my sister?
Yeah.
Socks the guy in the stomach.
Yeah, so he got shamed by like, you know, the local news host.
Ah.
And then a couple other people saw it and they were like, he did that shit to me. 6-7 people, and then he got, you know, however many charges, and then
he made me fight some kid on a swim team when I was 12.
This kid
for candy.
So then he went away, huh?
Yeah.
You have Rikers.
I went and visited him.
Fuck. So that's scary. I feel like that's one of the scariest penitentiaries.
One of the people he stole from me. He stole from me and a bunch of my friends. Like I was like, hey man, you know, me and like 12 buddies want to go see Pearl Jam, and we gave him like $1,500 and he just peaced out.
Pocketed it?
Yeah. And so I was furious. I mean, I'm a 22-year-old like stand-up comic wannabe. I've got no money. I'm like, dude, you just, you know, like I can't pay fucking rent. Like I fronted money for people. So we didn't speak for a long time, but I was the only one who would go visit him. My dad would be like, you got to come with me. And my sister wouldn't go. My brother, Mikey wouldn't go.
They shouldn't let your sister go.
Yeah. So my dad was like, you got to come with me. And I would just go and I'd just fucking read him the riot act.
Oh, they would all go though? You guys would all the guys?
Just me and my dad.
Oh, just you.
Me and my dad would go. We visit him in the Tombs in Manhattan, which is like the downtown, like holding prison. And then we visit him on Rikers.
How long was he in Rikers?
50 days. I just started talking about it now because we didn't really talk for a long time until he moved out here like 6 months ago.
So you would visit and just be like, you're a fucking asshole.
Like, you're a fucking scumbag.
And then when he got out, you didn't
speak.
What
would he say?
Yeah. He would be like, fuck you. And he'd get, you know, he was like, Rikers, I mean, it's tough. Like, you could see he was on the verge of tears the whole time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're a fucking scumbag. You should see the people I rode the bus out here with. Like, you're from fucking a great family in Westchester, and I'm riding out here with fucking trash, drug dealers, wives, and children.
Meanwhile,
like,
they're sitting right next to you.
Hey, Mickey, quiet down. Yeah.
Well, fuck, I gave you some of my Kool-Aid.
Try to get some ass over here, man.
But he would, he'd be like, fuck you, I'm gonna go back to my cell. I'd be like, fine, go back to your cell. I'd be like, guard, let's go, take him back to his cell. But he, you know, you're out, you're talking to your family for the first time.
And are you, is there glass or is it?
No, you're just
straight up in a room.
Yeah, you're sitting in a room at like a little like lunch table style, you know, thing. It was crazy. I mean, I never thought.
Did he tell you any crazy stories? You saw anything?
He just started telling me now. Because I watched that, what was the show on HBO, the one where the guy's on Rikers?
The Night Of. Yeah, it's great.
And we really hadn't talked about it because we didn't talk for a long time. And I was like, so is that what it was like? You know, they pouring like oil into fucking hot water and burning people's faces. He's like, it's not really like that. He's like, people do try to intimidate you and they'll, he's like, the first day I was there, some guy's like, buy me Pop-Tarts. And he's like, okay. And I bought him Pop-Tarts and some guy came over and he's like, now you're that dude's bitch. Now you're going to have to buy him Pop-Tarts every fucking day. And he's like, or I just won't. And they were like, all right, whatever. But he said there was...
Got the guy season tickets to Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a line in on some Kool-Aid, man.
The craziest thing he told me was there was three showers and they were separated. And you would shower in either of the ones on the side. In the middle, they just had a bucket and you'd clean your clothes in the fucking bucket and you would shower in your underwear. I was like, what? Like, I was like, aren't dudes getting fucked in the ass or whatever? He's like, nah, everybody's got their underwear on. They shower in one of them. They wash their clothes in the other one. Then you go back to your cell. You let it dry. I was like, that's a weird one.
He had to have a hustle going on. You know what? He might not have been in there long enough.
Yeah.
He might not have been long enough.
Well, what he said about Rikers was...
I got two seats down front of the movie. Yeah. Right.
Movie night. He's down front.
Yeah. You got to pay him. You got to pay this in here.
Come see me in cell 42B.
What he said about Rikers was when you're in Rikers, you're either there on a short stint because they don't want to send you upstate. You know, you got 6 months for something. You got 50 days for something. So they send you to Rikers. They're not going to send you to, you know, upstate and then have to bring you all the way back down. Or you're fighting you're at trial. And he's like, so no one there thinks they're going to be there that long. So they're not about to like beat somebody up or stab somebody or whatever, because the next thing you know, now they're going upstate.
Right.
So he's like, everybody's still claiming innocent or they're just like riding out like a 3 month, you know, drug charge. So he's like, it's really not that bad. And he was apparently in the worst level because the judge, you know, hated him or whatever. I'm sure he was a dick in court or whatever, but they had him with like, you know, formerly convicted murderers and, you know, assaults and shit like that.
Yeah, I've had friends that have done some time, and one in particular was very nervous about, I think he had a third DUI in Arizona, and that's when, and I think he might still be there, but Joe Arpaio, the fucking lunatic out there that did all the putting the prisoners in pink jumpsuits, like he did all this research, and he's like, that orange is menacing. There's no law that says I need to put you in blue or orange. Everybody's in pink. And then he did this thing too where
did it affect him at all?
It supposedly did. And he took weights out. Like, the guy's a lunatic, but he went and started looking at things he could do in his prison from the, I remember seeing, it was Discovery or something did a piece on him. And
they had him living in tents and shit, right?
Tent city, they call it.
Yeah.
And then he got rid of air conditioning. He's like, there's millions of Americans out there that don't have air conditioning. So he gave them all a fan, like a church fan. And you know what was on the fan? Picture of himself. So when they're fanning themselves with a picture of him on it, and they're just like, I hate this motherfucker.
And then, you know, they don't have to provide TV or, closed circuit TV because, again, millions of Americans don't have that. So he did a thing where he had a closed circuit TV where he just sat in a chair and read books. And if you wanted to watch TV, you'd sit and watch him read to you. So he did shit like that.
There was a couple guys like, he ain't that bad, man. Look, he plays other characters. Well, check this out.
He does all the voices. Yeah.
So, but I remember him, I had to write a character letter for him to send to the judge because they were doing anything they could to try to lessen the sentence. And he had friends in there telling him stuff like, just look down, mind your fucking business. Because if you're walking by a cell and there's two guys in there doing drugs, they're snagging you because they think you're going to go tell. Now you're part of that.
Right.
And I remember an HBO doc, too, it was controversial because they had all this music equipment. And these guys had a band. And these people were complaining, like, my kids don't have a music program at their school, but you're giving it to these murderers and stuff. And there was one dude in there. And they did what you said. They mixed them in with killers and all this shit. And he was just in for writing bad checks.
Mm-hmm.
But they told him, you're white and you side with us or we're going to fucking kill you. And he had no choice. So he did. And this one guy stabbed a dude. I mean, it was like 60 times they killed this guy. Now, again, these aren't nice guys.
Right.
These are murderers and shit. So there's no sympathy for what happens in there. But the dude laid on his legs and held the guy's legs. So he went from being in there for bad checks to a fucking murder.
Assisted murderer.
Yeah. Wow.
What do you call that?
That's right.
Oof. That's accomplice. A tough call, man.
Yeah. I like assistant murderer. I'm an assistant murderer.
Assistant murderer.
Nah, man. I'm not full time. I'm just an assistant.
Look, I just help out.
Wait a minute. What did your character letter say? Great drunk driver?
You know how many times he could have been caught? I just wrote all about like how I've known him for years and his family and anything to build him up and, you know, let me stay on his couch when I was down and out and all this. Didn't help. They didn't care. They're like, that doesn't matter. You've had three of these. So, yeah, he went and did his little time there and then got out and has since straight and narrow, which is good for him. Is your brother on the straight and narrow?
Yeah, suddenly.
How old is he? This is like 20
years
ago.
Watch him hack into
about?
This podcast, and anytime we talk to him, he's like, that's right, Boots!
Yeah. He ran, even after he got out of jail, he ran other cons.
He did.
Yeah.
So that didn't scare him?
He was doing, this is honestly, I think, the worst thing that he would do, and he did it to two women. He would like, I don't know if you guys have these rooms, but we had like social mags, but they were just like ads, you know, for shit around. But it was like black pictures from black tie events. You know what I mean? It'd be like Hamptons Magazine or Westchester Magazine. Like, oh, here's a bunch of people at the breast cancer benefit. And then, you know, ads for $1 million homes. They were bullshit magazines, but he would study them and he would pick girls. And then he would go to black. He would sneak in at black tie events.
Wait,
and he'd be
when
like,
you say pick them from the pictures?
Yeah, he would just pick girls he liked. He'd have four or five of them in mind. He'd remember their names. Then he'd sneak in at black tie events. And he'd be like, "Hey, Rebecca, didn't we meet at the breast cancer benefit at the Hamptons last year?" And she'd be like, "Oh, I don't know." And then he'd get them going. He'd get it, and they'd get in relationships with these girls. He'd have a whole story about who he was, the money he had, the family he was from, and then he would marry them. And then
he married him?
Two different women.
What?
Yeah.
What the fuck? It always goes the extra mile with him. I was not expecting to hear marriage.
Yeah. One girl was living in like a $5,000 like beautiful apartment in New York City. And he goes, "Hey, babe, like I'll take care of the rent from here on out. And you could just handle everything else. You know, you could take us on vacations from time to time. You could buy us dinners and shit like that. But the $5,000 a month, I got that." He's like, we're married now. I'm the man. I'll take care
of
it.
Did you go to the wedding?
Dude, they fucking courthouse shit. You know what I mean? Like, always like.
Same courthouse you did your special?
Yeah,
same
probably.
Courthouse they fucking said, you're going to Rikers too, probably.
And then he just wouldn't pay this chick's rent. And then like 6 months in, her landlord's like, you know, I let this go on because, you know, I know your dad and, you know, you've always paid. But like, why the fuck haven't you paid your rent for 6 months? And he would just be like, well, I guess this is over. Like, and he was just like, peace out. One of them like.
Whoa.
Yeah. One of them, he just like, and that's the thing, he did, there's like, you know, this is going to bite you eventually, right? The guy's not going to let you live here
that's
forever without
grand,
paying rent.
Yeah.
And just,
he just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah. And just live off her dime and go on vacation. And six, you know, maybe it goes 6 months or 8 months or whatever. And that'll be what I do for the next 8 months. And then we'll find, and then he did it to another girl.
And same way?
Same scam.
So then when do you think, how do you think he finally learned his?
So.
Yeah. What humbled him?
Yeah. He, he was like then living with my mom and living in the basement and shit like that. This is like 5-6 years ago. And he met another
Marry
woman.
My mom.
Yeah, not, not allowed in the pool, man.
Yeah.
Definitely not allowed in the pool.
He met another girl, and I guess just for, I don't know what happened, maybe my mom, because my mom had actually broken the news to one of the girls. The second girl was, she's like, I want to meet your mom. And my mom was like, he told you all this? It's like bullshit, you know? Like
she ratted him out.
Yeah.
Huh?
Like, why would you have done that? Because she knew he had done it once before. So
it's a good mom, but she wouldn't have made it a day in Rikers.
But I guess he met some other girl and just told her the whole deal. Like I've been on Rikers.
He just came honest with this.
Yeah, and now I feel like the thing is he's just now that his every second of the day is not lying about something. He's just like whatever. I'm just now I can just be a person. And he's got a good job, and he's using his like scamming abilities for like good, you know.
What's he do?
He works for this big healthcare company. He does like facilities, so like if you need, you know, they need an office set up, or the whole office needs fucking desks and chairs, and you know, or
he's like, hey, you're all set up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They get there and it's just empty.
Yeah,
warehouse. In the pool.
What do you in the pool?
Yeah.
So, is he married now?
He's married.
So he's been married three times.
Yeah.
And this one is for real.
This one's
legit.
Yeah,
and she knows.
They got married at like LA Quick Marriages anyway because they were just like, he's like, it's for taxes, but you know, but it's legit. She knows the whole deal. She knows his whole backstory.
She's cool with it.
She's just like, whatever. Yeah. She's like, it's, you know, he's not that guy anymore. And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
You are now closer to him now.
Now closer.
You started talking.
When he came out here to LA, he has a job and it's down in like Orange County. And he's like, I was like, live in fucking Newport or something. Like, just don't, you know, you don't want to commute from L.A. Like, I don't want to fucking hang out with you. And he's like, how about Marina Del Rey? I was like, you know good goddamn well that, like, I live in Venice. That's a mile away. And he came out here. I was like, well, we'll do beers one night. Let's go get beers. We'll catch up. I'll show you around the neighborhood. And then that's it. But I realized, you know, like, he said something that made me realize that he had completely changed, and it was something that wouldn't be weird to anybody else. I was like, so you're going to get a car so you can commute down to Orange County? He's like, yeah, I was like, what are you going to get? And he goes, I don't know, just like a Honda Accord or something that, you know, gets good gas mileage and will get me to work and back. And right in that moment, I was like, oh, he's a totally different person, because John for his whole life would just be like, I'm getting a 7 Series BMW. I'll write a bad check for it. I'll use a stolen credit card for it. I'll drive it until they fucking find out. Then I'll fucking, you know, ditch it down a canyon or something like that. Like, his scam would always be to be in the ballerest shit and then I'll just
get in the helicopter.
Yeah, and then I'll just disappear. And the fact that he was like, I'm going to get a Honda Accord, I was like, oh, maybe he's like a regular person now.
Does he want to be a dad?
I don't think so. I think he knows that would be a bad idea.
Man, this just a. I
mean, you want to breed that hustle gene,
yeah.
Man. That con gene.
I mean,
you want to breed
so crazy.
That.
He had like just the perfect combination of like crazy smart. And then crazy,
yeah,
you know, bad.
Yeah. Too smart for his own good, really.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
You must have been an angel then.
And that's
compared to him.
I mean, that's the thing is like when he's doing all this shit, I'm like a, you know, young 20-something. Like, I'm calling my mom every 6 months and being like, I'm like $200 short on rent. Can you like hook me up? And like, you know, my dad coming in and being like, I know you're fucking struggling. Let me take you out to dinner. And I'm feeling like, oh, I'm kind of a piece of shit. Like, get a real job and, you know, maybe this comedy thing is. And then they're like, your brother's going to Rikers for 50 days. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll take that free dinner now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No
like,
shit.
This is easy. You get paid 10 grand for him to get a lawyer and shit like that. It's like, makes me look great.
Now, what about these other stories?
So Mikey, my brother
is the praying mantis.
Yeah. And he's just fun. Like, he's got the same crazy gene, but he just uses it for like funny, good times. Like, you go out with Mikey, maybe the worst thing that's happened, you might get into a bar fight, but like, he's a good fun guy. And we used to do this one, his favorite thing, we lived on a street that came down to like a major road, like Route 22, which was like the major, you know, street through town. And there's a big hill that dipped down, like right at the bottom of the hills where our street came out. And we would sit there at the bottom. This was his favorite gag ever. We'd sit on opposite sides of the road and pretend we're holding a rope across it, like well, let's like pull him with everything. And cars would come down, and as they got closer, they'd see two kids literally lock their brakes up and just like And then, like, the smile that would go on his face when they would stop, so and he would just let go of his hand. He's like, what? What? And he would, like, and people, I mean, I saw guys get out and fucking chase him.
Because, yeah, he's scared yeah. the shit out of him.
Yeah, yeah. They're just, because you're driving 45 miles an hour down a fucking country road, and then suddenly you think you're about to hit two kids, like, holding a chain or a rope or something like that, and we're holding nothing. Just the invisible God. Rope. Mike, every
it's
day.
An acting exercise. Yeah, yeah. yeah. We're minds.
Yeah.
Jesus. Thanks for making me break character, you fucking
wait till you see me get out of this box.
But he'd get up in the morning and be like, man, what do you want to do today? I'd be like, I don't know. He's like, man, let's go play Invisible Rope. Just like an hour, please.
Invisible Rope.
He couldn't do it by himself. And like for every time one of his buddies came over for the first time, he's like, you want to play Invisible Rope? And he's like, what is that? He's like, come on, come with me. I'll show you what to do. And he would do it like twice a month, just sit there at the bottom of the fucking road till eventually the cops show up and be like, Mikey, what the fuck are you doing? You can't be doing invisible rope down here. But he also, this is Mikey, if one thing pushes Mikey over the edge, he's the guy who will take his dick out anywhere, like bars, restaurants. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, we had that guy on our soccer team.
Yeah.
Yep.
He would do dick tricks. He's fucking, you know.
Chicken heart. Did yeah, you ever do the chicken heart?
I don't know the chicken heart.
This guy used to come up all the time, be like, hey, you're looking in their eyes. Yeah. They're talking to you, but you're not seeing what they're doing down here. And like, you ever see, you know what a chicken heart looks like? You're like, what? And then you look down and they take the back of their balls and pull it all up forward over their dick. And you'd be like, probably what it looks like. Right? Yeah. It looks like it'd be a chicken heart. They would do it all the time.
He would do all the, he went to like the
he's that guy
puppetry, the penis. Yeah, yeah, he was yeah. doing the Eiffel Tower, the wristwatch, shit like that.
The hamburger.
Yeah. When he was like 15, he would go down. So the end of our road, it was like a dirt road. There was like horses in the area and shit like that. So there, like, our road was like this riding trail, and there was like a stone wall at the end of the road. So like the whole road was enclosed. He would stand behind the stone wall and the same hill that people would come down, and he'd just walk out as a car came down, and he'd just full drop pants, and just like cars would come by, and they, some 15-year-old kid standing there with just his dick out, just like waving, and
with his pants around his ankles.
Yeah, pants around his ankles, dick out. And his friends, we'd all stand behind the wall, and we just think it's so fucking funny.
It is hilarious.
So in the newspaper,
he did this for his own amusement.
Yeah, he just loved taking his dick out. That
and
was,
you don't even know it's a roll of the dice. This could be a family pulling up in
yeah.
this car.
Oh, he did kids, not care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
We all got dicks. Yeah. You know, they've seen them. You know, and so one day we're sitting literally at like the breakfast table, and my mom is like, "Have you guys seen this?" And we're like, what? She shows us the front page of the paper and like the sidebar headline. It's like a small little box. It's like, wanted, Katona flasher. And then.
What?
Yeah. And then there's a description. It's like, a man has been seen at the end of Katona's Wood Road exposing himself. He's approximately 6 feet tall, hair high on his head. He's about 25 to 35
years old. He's a little like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
He could be a Zappa.
And, My mom is genius smart, but this is probably her worst moment. We're sitting there like unable to control ourselves because we're like, how is she not immediately turned to her son who takes his dick out everywhere and gone, this is my road, my son who takes his dick out. Like, how did she not put two and two together? We are biting our fucking cheeks. And she goes, man, watch it. There's a creep living around there in the neighborhood. Like, watch out for this guy taking his dick out. She gets up and walks away. We lose it. My brother takes the paper, rips it, puts it in his pocket. He's like, you see that? They think I'm 25 years old because I have a hammer cock. And he literally would show it around town. My mom, we didn't tell my mom till like 5 years later. We're like,
a hammer cock.
We're like, you didn't put it together that Mikey was the flasher? She's like, I didn't. No.
They didn't either, yeah. apparently. He never yeah. got arrested, right?
No, but they were like looking for him for a while for just taking his dick out and standing at the end of the street.
We used to do this thing neighborhood, you had mailboxes right across from each other. And we used to take fishing line and tie like three or four cans on one end and then three or four on the other end, and we would just put it in the mailboxes. So when cars would come through the street, you don't see fishing string,
yeah.
and they would just naturally it's pull tight. The cans out, and they would wrap behind the car, so then they think their muffler's dragging. Like, we're in middle school,
yeah.
and they would start riding up, like, and they'd get out and look, and we were just dying on the ground, like, fuck you kids, man! And we would laugh so fucking hard at that.
Suddenly they're driving a just married
yeah,
car.
Right. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
That's great.
So you clearly are not the degenerate of your family. You've seen it. But what were you doing? What was your first job?
My first job was delivering pizza. I mean,
driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza delivery driver. We had a pizza place in town. It's one of the best gigs I've had to this day. I mean, we lived in a pretty good area and
was it a chain pizza or like a local?
No, like a local pizza spot.
Yeah, that's the best.
They would give me $3 of delivery plus tips. You know, sometimes you're going and delivering four pizzas to some guy's house, you know, you're getting $20 tips. I would make like $200 a night.
Damn.
Delivering pizza, cash.
And what were you driving? What was your car?
I was driving a Nissan Pathfinder. 10 disc changer in it. My whole life was just like, boom, let's go. Listen to music, deliver pizza.
And in the snow.
Yeah, in the snow. Oh my God, the tips you get when it snowed.
I remember like we had this alley behind the pizza place, and that's where the drivers would pull in. And it was the best, dude, because you just pull in, you'd hang out there, one guy would be smoking, you'd be like, dude, just get stiffed at this place. You talk, you had the guy, the young kid be working, he's sitting out there doing dishes, he'd be grabbing a smoke. Oh, it was the best.
Yeah. And it was
simple,
man. It was a little mom and pop pizza shop, too, but, you know, there wasn't tons of pizza place in there, you know, so it was like Domino's Pizza Hut or Broadway Pizza, you know, so I'm.
You mean Broadway?
Yeah. It was fucking incredible. It was a great job.
How long did you work there?
I worked there for like, I think probably like all of my junior and senior year of high school.
Oh, and man. How many nights a week? Were you working on
just
school
like,
nights?
No, a couple nights a week, like after Friday. School. Yeah, like what? And the worst part was like you're out, you're delivering pizza, and all your friends are out like at a party, you know, before the football game or whatever. And you're like, fuck, I got to deliver. But then you show up at the end of the night, the guy would give me the last six pizzas, you know, like we got leftover pizzas. So you're rolling to the party with $200 in your pocket, picking up some beers on
the
way, and a pizza at 11:30, and
front row tickets to Springsteen.
Yeah, exactly. But the best part, literally, my first sexual experience was
your first,
like, you know, kissing a girl or whatever. But like the first anything of serious measure was a woman lured me into her apartment when I delivered pizza.
Wait,
first of all,
sorry, this is a dream of mine.
I know. Who is it?
How old?
I want to hear what lured me.
Yeah.
Because you're going up to the apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like 16 years old. I deliver this lady's pizza, and it's like she's in one of the like the little condo areas. You know, there's like 10 or 12 little places and whatever. And she's like a mid 30s something. Like, and I'm fucking 17 year old. Like,
statutory rape right here, man.
When you walk up as a pizza guy, you're like, I hope she brings me in. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is what we do it for. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's but see she's if your like, hammer cocks anything like that.
Yeah. She's like, oh, pizza, yeah. She's like, I'm eating alone. She's like, I hope I don't eat this whole fucking pizza. And I'm like, is this going where I think it is? And she's like literally like holding a glass of wine. She's like, you want to come in and have a glass of wine? I'm like, I'm 16 and I'm dry, like my job is to drive, so I think I'm gonna pass.
The car's running.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The car's running. Shit. She's like, just come in for a minute, hang out with me. I'm like, fuck. Like,
is she attractive?
Yeah, she was like, I mean, she wasn't like smoking, but she's like a good looking mid 30s.
When you're 16 year old and this good looking mid
30s, and it's just you
it's
and
a
her.
10.
Yeah, and it's like wearing a little skirt, and I'm like, oh, fucking like mature lady legs. I'm like, this is everything. And then I'm thinking is like, I have pizzas in the car that have to be delivered, but I'm like, I have to do this just because when I go to the party later tonight and walk, not only am I walking in with pizzas, now I'm walking in with a potential story. So I go in, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh yeah, you sure you don't want something to drink? I'm like, no, I'm good. You want a Coke or something like that? Sure, fine, give me a Coke. I'm just sitting there like, what is this fucking lady's deal? And she's like, you want a slice of the pizza with me? I'm like, no, I eat pizza all day, you know. I'm just like, is this lady going to proposition me or is this like, what is happening here? And she's just like, oh, you're so cute. Puts her hand on my leg. I'm like, okay.
Oh boy.
I'm like, here we go. This is what's up. But I'm like, I don't know what to fucking do here. So she's literally sitting next to me on like a couch. She's like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, how long have you been doing this? Blah, blah, blah. Where you live in the neighborhood? I'm like, yeah, I live over here. Oh, and rubbing my leg. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm a 16-year-old dude. Like, I don't know. Like, what do I do here? Do I kiss this lady? Do I fucking, you know? So I'm just sitting there. And then she just literally wraps around me. She like, she's
straddles
sitting.
You.
Yeah, saddles me and just starts making out with me. And I was like, okay, so I'm kissing this fucking 30-something-year-old lady.
Had you kissed chicks before?
I'd kissed girls, but like, you know, here and there. Like, I hadn't had a girlfriend yet. Gotcha. Like, you know, kissing girls at parties, whatever. And I'm just like fucking making out. And she pulls back and she's like, have you ever have you ever slept with anybody? And I was like, what? And she's like, are you a virgin? I was like, yeah, I'm a virgin. And she goes, well, I'm not going to be the one that does that. And I was like, okay. And she's like, but I'll do something. And she fucking gets down on her knees and she pulls up my pants and she fucking jerks me off.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, you've got to pay.
Yeah.
I got to put in my slips at the end of the night. Yeah. And if you could just.
She gave you a hand job?
Give me a hand job. Yeah. It's probably still on her ceiling.
I'll bet.
And I'll just, yeah, bet. Like, I think I got some on my shoulder. I had to go, like, change my shirt before fucking going out that night. And she's just like, okay. That was all it. Right. Like, okay.
Thanks for
never ordering again. I've been like, you know, I'm working next tomorrow.
Every single time, like, what happened with me, I would go in, there would be the guy who did during the day and the guy who did at night. And so, when he would be out on his last deliveries before I would come in and there'd be just tickets lined up. And when I tell you for the next 3 months that I would walk in and the first thing I would do is, it was like I was checking the basketball roster to see if I got cut. Like I'm like screening for her fucking address. Whereas there was times where I was like, let me just take a pizza over there and knock on the fucking door. But
you could have, I'm sure.
Unless
she was just in some whack mood that night, you know, who knows?
That was the first release of my life that wasn't from myself. And it was a lady I fucking delivered pizza to.
I mean, did that change your sexual preference the rest of your life where it was just had to be something like super kinky?
Every time I fucking ate pizza, I just had to jerk off.
older ladies and pizza. Yeah.
Every time you delivered. Dude, that's crazy.
So, 4 kids. Your sister, was she any trouble? She ever get arrested?
I don't think she ever got arrested.
Have you ever been arrested?
I've been arrested, yeah.
You have?
I've been arrested a few times.
All 3 boys have been arrested.
Oh, yeah. John's been arrested however many times in Sirius. I've been arrested a few times. My younger brother definitely got a DUI.
He's wanted.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he does want.
And he also got in trouble. He pulled his Jeep up onto a curb and like almost ran over a bunch of people. And,
Jesus.
Like, yeah. He's a fucking psycho in a car, too. Like, he would be like, oh, let's see if we can get this thing on 2 wheels. Like, he was that guy. All the boys have been arrested. I don't think my sister's been arrested. She was just a brat.
First time.
She was just a princess. Couldn't do anything wrong. But, I mean, it was like living with, like, a Kardashian. She was, like, such a diva. She was telling people to fuck off at, like, 6 years old. She just, like, got her way all the time. We used to just drive her so crazy that she would leave the living room, like the TV room where we would watch TV, and she would go all the way through the house up to her room, and we could count the door slams on the way. We were like, she's going to hit the door at the bottom of the stairs, then she's going to hit the one at the other end of the kitchen, she's going to hit the one going up the stairs, then she's going to get to her door, and she'd fucking slam it 5 or 6 times, and we would literally sit there because it was like right above us, and we would count. We'd be like, boom, kitchen. Fucking, and get up there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then she'd just be in her room for the rest of the night. Just a brat, but not a criminal.
What'd you get arrested for?
I got a DUI when I was in college.
That's your first time being arrested?
That was my first time being arrested, yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I was ever in handcuffs.
What happened? How'd you get caught?
It was actually a shitty, I mean, I wish I had a better DUI story, but I was underage.
A better one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I was underage. It's why I hate cops, but we went to a football game at Lehigh, and I was a journalism major, so I wrote for the newspaper, and I had to go cover the women's soccer game after the football game. So I was like, I'm going to drive down. Maybe I'll get banged up a little at the football game, but I still got to go watch an entire women's soccer game and write about it for the newspaper. So by the time that's over, I'll be sober and I can drive back. And a bunch of my friends went to the football game, and they were blackout, and they're like, this game sucks. We're going back to the frat house to get fucked up. And I was like, you guys aren't driving, right? They're like, yeah, we drove. And I was like, don't fucking drive back there. I was like, I'm not too bad because I got to watch a soccer game. I'll drive you guys back. And then later on, I'll come back and grab one of you and take you back down and you get your cars later or whatever. I put like 5 dudes in my car. So 2 people were sitting on the front seat together and they just pulled me over for too many people in the car. And then I got the DUI because I wasn't over the legal limit, but I was underage, so zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
You got a DUI, and
so
all,
you weren't drunk driving; you were just a minor
driving under the influence and underage. Yeah.
So what happened? You go away just for the night, little drunk tank.
Yeah, you go. Out? I mean,
Rikers.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys, all in Rikers, the whole family.
I think I was only in the thing for like a couple hours, and then you know they tow your fucking car,
right?
And then you got to go to DUI class, and you got to pay. It's just a money grab, and you know my parents are pissed. They don't care that I'm not over the legal limit. My mom's not hearing that story.
Yeah, no
you know,
shit.
She's like, it's 10 grand for me either way, you motherfucker. And so that one, like, I always go, like, I didn't really get a DUI, you know? Like, I wasn't, like, black. I didn't run into a fire hydrant or some shit. I just had too many people in my car and had a couple beers. And then...
How many times you been arrested, you said?
Three.
What was the second one?
Second one was just drunken night at school again. Me and my buddies were just ripping license plates off of cars. We're like, we just decided that was going to be our fucking decoration in our off-campus.
Oh, you
apartment.
Weren't using them to put on your car and then go do shady shit like your brother would have.
No, yeah, if my brother had known, he probably would have.
Definitely like, what are you doing?
You know, actually, I could use a couple of those. We were just like, we're going to collect them all. We're going to collect all the license plates. So you'd see, oh, look, there's Hawaii. And you go, we're going to rip it off. And cop saw us doing it. Arrested us for that. And then.
What kind of a. That's not federal, though, is it?
No, well, you know what the thing was, too, is he didn't even, like, see it happening, but he knew, like, it was, like, he just missed it. Like, he saw kids doing it, and so he didn't have it, so we got arrested, but we didn't actually end up getting charged for that. Like, he couldn't prove it, so that was, but I still was in a cell.
Damn. What about the third time?
The third time's the one I'm actually proud of. I was doing some work for High Times Magazine. And they were sending me over.
Currently up for sale right now, High Times.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Where you live in New York?
Yeah, I was living in New York. I was like 25, maybe 26. And I was like doing like little sketches for them, little video work. And they said they're going to pay all expense paid trip to the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam.
Damn.
Yeah. 10 days in Amsterdam, all the weed you can smoke. You're going to run around. You're going to shoot little videos, shit like that. This is like, as a 25-year-old pothead, I was like, this is the dream.
It's a dream.
So I've got my backpack, and I'm going from my apartment in New York out to Newark Airport. And I'm still a broke fucking clown. So I'm like, I'm going to take the subway to Newark or to Port Authority. I'll take a bus to Newark. I get to Port Authority. And the bus to Newark Airport's like not a regular bus. You don't just like go in. It's like outside and you just pay cash and they take you to the thing. So I go there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I go up to the thing and I've got like, you know, $200 I'm bringing to Amsterdam with me. I've got like, I like went to the bank, got $200 bills. And the lady's like, we don't have change for that. You got to go inside and get change for this $100 and then, you know, just get me a $10 bill and we'll get you out to the airport. So I go inside, walk in through this side door. And there's a arm wrestling tournament happening in fucking Port Authority bus terminal.
Really?
Of course there is.
Yeah. Like in the middle of the bus terminal, there's like a guy announcing and there's fucking dudes. Like it's literally like, you know, over the top.
The chick that jaded him off when he was 16.
Yeah.
Russia.
Hall of Famer.
So I go, I get change. I'm going back out the side door. I come in.
Sorry, go ahead.
And now some guy who's had his arm fucking mangled in a arm wrestling tournament is sitting by the side door holding his arm. It takes me like 10 minutes to find some place that'll crack 100. I'm going out. He's sitting there, and there's a cop standing next to him, and they're waiting for an ambulance. But there's like six doors out. So I go to walk out, and this cop goes, you can't go out this way. And I was like, why not? And he goes, we're waiting on an ambulance. I was like, yeah, fucking, it's a guy whose fucking arm's broken. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I was like, my bus is right there. He's like, you not hear me? You can't go out this way. I was like, dude, I'm going to miss my bus. I got a flight to catch. He's like, I said you can't go out this way. And I just look him in the face. I go, you're a fucking asshole.
Oh,
buddy.
And I was just like, whatever, I'm over it. And I turn and I walk away. And he starts following me through the terminal. He's like, what'd you say? And I won't even turn back to him. I go, you heard me. He goes, what the fuck did you say? I go, you heard me, man. You heard me. And he's like, say it to my fucking face. I'm literally talking around. I'm not even looking. I'm just still walking to the other door. I'm like, I just said it to your face,
yeah, exactly.
Bro. Like, I literally just said it to your face. Say it to my fucking face. You're a man. You'll say it to my face. I am a man. I just said it to your face. And he broke me, though. He's like, say it to my fucking face. I swing around. I put my finger right in his face. I go, you're a fuck. I scream it in his face. You're a fucking asshole. And literally tackles me. Cops come out of nowhere. They got me for fucking... like inciting a riot, disturbing the peace, and resisting arrest. Meanwhile, I got tackled and like six cops had their fucking knees on my back.
They just fucking you
and,
up.
Yeah, and like fucking me up, handcuffs. And the best part is I get dragged to the Port Authority, you know, precinct. It's like this shitty little room inside a bus terminal. And they handcuff me to a bench. They handcuff me next to this black guy. And he's like, what'd they get you for? I was like, I told the cop he's a fucking asshole. He's like, man, you can't be doing that. I was like, I know. And I go, what did they get you for? He's like, I helped somebody with their bags out of a cab and I wanted a dollar. And, you know, you can't do that. And I was like, they get arrested you for fucking trying to get a tip? And he's like, yep, can't do that. The Port Authority. I was like, man. And he looks me up and down. He goes, so you told me the fucking asshole, huh? I was like, yeah. He goes, you got any warrants? I was like, not that I know of. He goes, and he's literally doing math in his head. He goes, white boy, calls a cop an asshole, no warrants. You'll be out of here in 25 minutes.
Really?
24:59. They come and they give me a pink slip and they're like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, I told you. 25 minutes on the dot.
You make that bus?
Well, yeah, made the bus. Oh. Well, I made the next bus, but I made my flight.
You did.
And went to Amsterdam.
Oh, you can't miss that.
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, it was great.
How long were you there?
10 days.
Oh, my God.
Too long to be in Amsterdam.
Of some of the most powerful weed in the world.
Yeah, and the gig was such a weird gig. Like, the guy who was the editor-in-chief of High Times, he wanted to do, like, a Borat kind of thing. He was like, you're going to go, and we're going to enter
you. Because you look like him?
Yeah. He goes, you're going to enter into the Cannabis Cup. You're going to be one of the people that submits, and we're going to have this whole thing, and you're going to just go around talking trash to all the other growers and say your shit's better than them. And he was the only person of the whole fucking festival that was into it, but it's his festival. So all the other employees hate me. They're like, you're a fucking, like, what is this? You're making a mockery of this whole thing. I'm like, man, I'm just getting paid and doing what this guy's telling me to do, smoking weed, talking shit to people. But it was so stressful, spending the whole day like instigating shit, and that I would go home at night and literally just like smoke weed in my hotel, eat mushrooms, and fucking hang out in Amsterdam.
Damn.
Yeah. Coming off of almost getting arrested in the Port Authority. It was, and it's right around Thanksgiving too. Spent Thanksgiving in Amsterdam.
Jeez.
It was super fun.
He fly you first class?
No. And then it was this weird, I don't know what it was, but the black guy, this guy on the plane too, when I go there, he goes, you going to the Cannabis Cup? This guy like talking to me on the plane. We're like 30 minutes from touching down. He goes, you going to the Cannabis Cup? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, first time? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, eat this cookie right now. And I was like, what? And he goes, eat this fucking cookie right now. He goes, are you taking a train from the thing? He goes, yeah. He goes, when you get out, you're going to go down this elevator. You're going to buy a ticket for the train. You're going to go to Central Station. You're going to get on the train. And he goes, if you eat this cookie right now, this is going to hit you after you bought your ticket and everything. And you're just going to be riding the train into Amsterdam. And literally, I go, fucking, I ate it. And
wait,
same exact thing.
Just on, once you got on the plane, this happened?
This is like, we're like an hour from landing in Amsterdam.
Got
this
it.
Guy's like walking up and down.
He's
the thing.
This
He's
is
like
gonna
scoping
tee you
people.
Up
yeah.
Perfectly.
And he goes, eat it
train.
Right now, though. He goes, eat it right now. I go, okay. I eat it. And now I'm getting off a plane. And I completely forget about it and whatever. And I'm doing my thing. I'm trying to read Dutch or whatever and get a train ticket. And I get on a train. I got
the
my
fuck's
fucking
a gilder,
backpack.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. And I sit down. I finally get on the train. I'm like, okay, I'm going. Just get off the last stop, Central Station. Get off. And then I was just like, what is happening? Like, and I was like, oh, that fucking guy with that cookie. And I was like, he said it would hit me right now.
And it did.
All these exact people.
I know. Man. It was crazy. It was like this like trip that was like full of these like, I don't know, seers or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the – I don't know.
I was
seers? There's a better word for that, but I don't know what it is.
Hmm.
Well, look, we're getting close to our time here, and there's a couple stories that I wanted to hear about. So we can either talk about the Derby or saving lives.
The Derby's was with my brother again. I feel like we've covered extensively
covered
that both of my brothers
brother.
Are fucking lunatic.
Trash.
Let's
monsters.
Hear about these life-saving
Westchester
stories.
Trash.
Yeah. So I've saved two lives, and they happened literally weeks apart. Here in California, I live in Venice.
Recently.
Yeah, I think it was probably about, it was August 2 years ago. And I remember that because one of them happened. We had a big swell. I surf, and I don't know if you guys remember, we had a big storm, and there was like, they called it Big Wednesday. It was like 15, 20 feet up in Malibu. It was like nuts. And but a couple weeks before that, I'm out surfing Venice Pier with Lachlan Patterson's girlfriend. I think you guys have had him on the show. His girlfriend Jill also surfs, and we're out there surfing, and I see this kid, looks like, dive off the Venice Pier.
Like, and what do we do? It's about, what, 20 feet?
Yeah, it's probably pretty high. I mean, 20, 25 feet. And people dive off it, like, occasionally. You're not supposed to do it, but, like, you'll see surfers dive off and throw their board in and dive off. You'll see guys swimming. So I see this kid dive off the far end. And the far end of the pier is, like, 300-400 yards out. So I see him dive off. And then the kid is like flailing around and shit.
You're like, I've seen this shit before, man. Yeah. Where's the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, exactly. And I turn to Jill and I go, look at this guy. Maybe don't dive off the fucking Venice Pier if you don't know how to swim. I mean, this idiot, right? And she's like, I think he's in trouble. So now I'm like maybe 200 yards away. I'm only about halfway out. He's all the way out flailing around in the water. So I'm like, fuck. So I paddle my surfboard all the way over to him, and I go, are you okay? And I realize this is like a Mexican kid. He's probably like 16. He's wearing like the white T-shirt that goes down to his fucking knees. So he's basically like in the perfect drowning
outfit.
So he was
dared to jump off, probably?
I think he must have fallen.
Okay.
Because he's in jeans, T-shirt, and like Jordans. And I'm like, oh, this motherfucker. So I was like, can you swim? He's like, no. I'm like, fuck. We're way the fuck out.
How'd you get my dad's accent?
Yeah. So I put him on my surfboard, and I'm attached to it from a leash, and I just start swimming him in. He's holding it, and I'm just swimming and dragging him. And Jill, who was out there with me, had paddled in and told the lifeguard. So we get about halfway in, and this lifeguard paddles halfway out, and this kid's like grabbing my leg. He's like got his claws in me. He's like scared as shit.
I took life saving and Boy Scouts, and like the first thing they tell you is like, if you're swimming towards someone, you swim in feet first, because they're gonna try, and all they try to do is jump on you.
Yeah,
you know, right.
Yeah. So I
was a lifeguard. They taught me to swim maybe from here to like where that door is, and then if they are like that, let them start going under, because if not, they will pull you down too, and then both of you fucking die. So you actually let them start drowning a little bit,
huh?
And then you grab them and then take them in.
Yeah, because you see it all the time, like under the arm.
They're scared
to
death. They're just freaking out, wanting to grab on anything, and they don't realize that they're pulling you under, even if you can swim.
Yeah. So I just was like, I finally like kind of like separated, and I'm just like, hold on to the surfboard. I'm like, it's a flotation. Just like hold on to it, and I'm just like swimming. I'm pretty good swimmer, swim team grown up, you know, and so I'm swimming and just dragging this guy behind me, and he's panicking. He's very difficult to drag, but this lifeguard comes out, and the lifeguard's like, did you fucking fall in or did you jump? And he's like, what? And he's like, did you fall in or you jump? And he's like, I was like, I think he fell in, dude. And I was like, he's in fucking Air Jordans and jeans. Like, and he's like, did you take any drugs or have anything to drink? And I go to the guy, I go, hey man, can we fucking do this on the beach?
Yeah, there's a swell out here.
Like, can we get him in first? Like, there's a kid drowning and you're like trying to give him a fucking investigation. So I get him another, you know, couple yards up. We get him onto the lifeguard surfboard and the big thing, and they just fucking paddle him all the way in. And yeah, I caught another wave in. I go in, and they've got like the fire department up, and this kid's got a towel around him, and he's fucking shaking. And I came over, and he's like, thank you.
Yeah, you saved and his just life, like, for real.
Yeah. So I got it. Saved a little Mexican kid who fell off the Venice Pier. And then not 2 weeks later, we were surfing this big day. The day before the big day that everybody knows about here, it was Big Wednesday, but it was Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
And we're surfing at Sunset, right where Sunset Boulevard hits PCH. And I'm out there, me, Lachlan.
Gladstones.
Yeah, right there. Me, Lachlan, and his girlfriend, Jill. And it's a huge day. I mean, it's fun. It's big, but it's scary. And
you're riding a shortboard or a longboard?
Yeah, shortboard, like 6'3", 6'4". But it was like 12, 15-foot waves, and we were riding it right at sunset. So the sun starts going down, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm going to get one more before it gets too dark, you know, and get in. And suddenly I see Jill, and she's like, screaming my name. She's like, Joe. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, Joe. I'm like, what's up? And she's like paddling, frantically paddling over. And she goes, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to get in, and like I'm freaking out. And I was like, okay, where's Lachlan? She's like, he was over there, and my leash broke, and he fixed it, but now I don't know, and I just want to get in. And I was like, okay, so here's the deal. I was like, point your board just toward shore, and let the next wave come and crash behind you, and just hold on like you're boogie boarding. Point yourself straight to the out, you know, the out point, and just get out, like. Don't worry about it. She's like, well, isn't it going to crash on me and hurt? I'm like, it's fine.
And Jill's a good surfer, right?
Yeah, she's a good surfer. She's a terrible swimmer is what I found out.
Whoa.
So I was like, just ride it like on your chest. Like you don't have to surf it. Just like let it crash behind you. These waves aren't huge like in terms of they're not barreling. It's not going to dump on you. It's not going to hurt you. Put it in. So I was like, I'll do it with you. I'll boogie board right next to you.
And you were like, you see an aircraft carrier out of here?
yeah, exactly. And so I was like, all right, ready? Here comes one. And I was like, getting ready to go. And she panics. And she's like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. So she turns at the last minute and she's paddling right at the wave trying to get through it so that she can hang out on the outside where it's safe. The wave crashes on both of us. I get fucking worked. I come up. I grab my board. I spot Jill. Her board gone. It has ripped it off her leg. And now she is out there in just full fucking panic mode.
And she can't really swim.
She can't really swim.
She's in a wetsuit or no?
Yeah, she's in a wetsuit. She's panicking. She's like, I don't have a fucking board. I was like, all right, relax. I go, first of all, we got to swim. Now we got to swim out because we got to get out of where the waves are breaking. So I was like, swim out. And she swims out and I get her on my board. Same thing as this Mexican guy. I'm like, get on my board. Hold on. Just grab onto it. Then Lachlan comes over and Lachlan's like, what happened? I was like, I tried to get her to go in and then she didn't. And then the board's gone and whatever.
And she's like, I'm right here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, Jill, why would you do that? And she's like, well, the leash broke and I don't know why you tried to fix it. But now they're fucking fighting in the water. I was like, and this is the same thing as life. I'm like,
right,
guys,
I was gonna say, yeah.
Can we fucking do this on shore? Like, can we just get her in first? And she goes, okay, what do I do? I go, you have to do exactly what I told you to do. I go, you take my board, next wave that comes, you and Lachlan, stay on your bellies and just go straight in. And I just bought this brand new board. I had a custom fucking made by a guy here in Venice. She's like, what about your board? What if it gets dinged? I was like, fuck my board. You guys are rich. You'll buy me a new board. Just go on in and just get the fuck out. And she's like, what are you going to do? And now the sun's down. It's complete fucking darkness. There's 15-foot waves. And I was like, I'll just swim in. And I sent them in and they managed to get up. And I swam about 300, 400 yards in the darkness in 12-foot waves into crashing rocks on Sunset.
Damn.
And got out. And Jill was like, and she was there when I saved the other kid. She's like, that's two. You saved two people now. I'm like, yeah, I know one more. I think I get like a lifeguard, like honorary lifeguard jacket forever. Or something like that.
Yeah, man.
And then they're fighting the whole fucking way home. Like we're riding together. I'm like, guys, maybe just don't go out in 12-foot waves if you can't swim. Again? Yeah, in the van. Like, and they're like bickering. Her board's gone forever. It's just like out in the ocean.
Whatever.
Yeah. So
man, well, that's dope. That's a happy ending, man. This is
not as happy as that pizza food delivery.
yeah, man. This has been a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Will you one more time just promote your podcast, your special, your Twitter, all that stuff?
On Twitter at Fix Your Life, two podcasts, The Dirty Sports and Kooks of Comedy, where you can hear a lot more surfing stories I do with Lachlan. And Joe Prano Takes the Stand, which is available now on Vimeo On Demand. You go to my website, joeprano.com, and you can buy it or rent it. I hope you guys enjoy it. And thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming by and doing this. It's great. Go check out Joe's special. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
And make sure you show up and support Jay Larson for his special, Los Angeles.
Thank you, Ryan.
I am Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, Ryan Sickler on official on Facebook, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next Tuesday.